Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Call a little NBA, we'll go a little CMT. I see people now want to call and host the episode of CMT. I'm sure
that actually could be fun.
Sensational.
I would consider that.
Once a week, a caller call and host it?
I would absolutely. We could do a fun Friday, and then maybe on a hump day, we can do one, a listener gets to host.
Well, Friday is understood that it's like the enjoyable one, right? We did movies, we've done foods, we've done breakfast, we've done on Fridays. So you're saying
maybe we do a listener on Wednesdays.
Wednesday, yeah, it would have to
break
be
up the
well
week.
Vetted though.
So a caller-led CMT.
Like this
I like
have
it
to be well vetted.
Yeah, that can't be like caller roulette. Like we have to, Ray and Ray have to spend some time actually talking to this individual,
right? And have to walk them through and how you have to handle it and how quickly you have to be and what are the three topics for each one. I mean, it's plausible, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, but listen, anything worth having is hard work. It's not meant to be easy. If it's going to be good, it's going to take some work.
Now, you want to do it just so you can play.
No, I want to do it because I want to involve the listeners. I mean, they're the lifeblood of this show.
They are the lifeblood.
So they want to get involved. Let's get them involved.
All right, let's involve them. So starting next Wednesday, the listeners will host CMT?
Tentatively, yeah. I mean, if we get the right caller with the right idea, he or she knows what they're doing.
So let me ask you this. How do we propose doing this? They'll start with tweeting and then we get in touch with them? Because it can't be just like at 11:20 you call in hoping to host it. It's got to be a little more background check than that, I would think.
Yeah, or call in at some point. I mean, throw the idea by, maybe what we do is on a Tuesday. We set it up for Wednesday. People call in. Give us your quick idea for CMT if you have an idea for CMT that you'd like to host.
Here's what it is. You're right. Okay.
How about using social media and having that person DM our account, and that way we can vet them that way ahead of time? That we have more time for Santiago and Dinahan to kind of get into the crux of what they want to present for CMT.
I like that, but here's what I like. And tell me what you think about this. You do the 11:30 segment on Tuesday. Following that, for 3 minutes, we take Santi, Dinahan, they screen some of the better ones. We quickly bring them on there. They give us an idea of their personalities. We choose one for the next day.
I like it. And again, this allows you to be who you are. Let's highlight one of your strengths, which is to be nasty to callers.
Well, I had one step, and that's my go-to.
No, it's not your go-to. I think it's one of your skills.
Has it really just been one, Dave?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I'm not going to apologize for it. If you call and some ridiculous take or asinine opinion, I'm not just going to be like, oh, really well done, Stephen. It's a great job by you. No. See, because I hold the callers at a high level. And if you want them to just willy-nilly be able to call and just spout nonsense, it's like, what a brilliant point you brought up there. I'm not going to do it. I won't do that.
Which is exactly why we need to do this live on the air, so you can be you.
I don't think that's fair.
Oh, it is fair. If it's a good idea, you can say it's a good idea, and people respect that. I mean, people respect your honesty. Just be brutally honest.
But if I say it's a good idea, then you know that I really mean it's a good idea.
Exactly
Rick,
right.
Dave treats our callers like the Major League Baseball owners treat the players.
I don't think that's true.
That's what Dave does.
I have a lot of terrific callers. We have a lot of terrific callers, and I love them. But if you call with asinine points, I'm going to point it out to you and to everyone.
Is that really necessary, though, Dave?
Well, maybe not.
Okay. But it makes you feel better, right?
Yeah.
Got it.
I'm sorry.
No, listen. I will say this in fairness for Dave, and sometimes he goes over the top a little bit. You call in because you want to be a part of the show. So you should be held to the same standards as the show. If one of us says something ridiculous, Dave or myself or Chris says that's ridiculous. So now you're a co-host. But when you call in, you're essentially a co-host.
So now you're part of the show. You're signing a verbal waiver and saying, you know what, any of the grief you guys give each other, you now give to me because I want to be part of the show.
I think it's a little unfair to hold the callers to the same standard that we hold ourselves.
It's the Buckeye Pledge.
the DCR pledge. The DCR pledge.
That's the best one you've had all week. That's the best one.
Yeah, that was a good line. That might be, that might win the week. All right, let's get into the NBA. Brian Windhorst was on Get Up this morning, and the biggest questions surrounding the bubble are what, Brian?
There's a couple of big questions. One, it isn't spelled out how many positive tests it would take for the NBA to consider shutting this down. It's left open-ended, other than that the NBA acknowledges they are expecting multiple positive tests. The other thing is, one of the big factors for the people going into the bubble is, can somebody be kept out? Can somebody be barred because of pre-existing conditions or medical risks? And the answer is yes. The NBA has a medical panel that has the ability to bar coaches if they don't believe that they can go there. And this potentially opens them up to a lawsuit. And the hope is that this will not come to this. But the NBA will have the right to say that you can't come in. And, you know, the other major factor, obviously, is the life inside there. The players are going to be in three different hotels, but for the first 2 weeks down there, they're not going to be able to associate with anybody outside their hotel. So if your good friend is on another team, you're going to have to stay with FaceTime. In addition to when you arrive in Orlando, up to 48 hours in your room. You may not leave while you quarantine.
They got to be safe. And
isn't that really an issue, though?
That's what I was about to say, Rico. Like, of all the things that have been put out there on whether or not the NBA players want to go into the bubble, that one should have the least amount of consideration or conversation. Like, let's stop it, okay? It's not about your social life. Everybody recognizes that their social life has been impacted by the pandemic.
But you don't think that that's going to be an issue for these guys? At least
it shouldn't be, Dave. I'm not saying that it's not going to be an issue. What I'm saying is that it shouldn't be an issue. Like, that's the one that's ridiculous.
Not for 2 days. He said 2 days, Dave. It's 48 hours.
You don't have to convince me. I've been in my home for months.
Yeah, but you haven't seen these guys anyway for the most part. I mean, you got buddies on different teams. Okay, wait 2 days and then you can see everybody. You can go golfing, you can go fishing, you can play singles ping pong.
Only singles ping pong, no doubles ping pong.
Which, again, is ridiculous because everyone's going to be tested inside the bubble. I don't, I mean, it's all eyewash. You test everybody, you make sure everyone's healthy. The bigger concern is the people, you know, staff coming in and out of the bubble. I mean, that could infect the players or, you know, be responsible to spreading it. But, I mean, I don't know. It's a commitment. I get it. But, I mean, if your concern is safety, this is really the only way to ensure safety.
To me, it's not a hard ask, though, Rico. I mean, when we used to go to training camp and we would be away for 2 months, we were staying in hotel rooms and we were pretty much isolated to our rooms, the meeting rooms that we had, and where we ate dinner. That was it. So, I mean, the fact that the players would have to do this, and you're talking about, you know, over 2 months, 2.5 months. I just don't think that's a hard ask given the circumstances that we're in as a country with this pandemic.
It shouldn't be. Did you see they're going to have a hotline where you can call and anonymously give a tip that someone is doing something that they're not supposed to be doing?
They have a snitch hotline,
yeah.
Dave. That is unbelievable.
LeBron James out of quarantine.
You're a little snitch, and I don't like you at all.
No, see, that's the phone call you don't want to make because then you'll get kicked out of the bubble.
Narking out everybody.
Yeah,
man.
You start snitching on Giannis, Kawhi, or LeBron.
But if you're a player on a team that's competing against them, wouldn't that be like a way to try to gain a competitive advantage?
Oh, of course. I mean, that's 100%.
Hey, listen. I saw Giannis sneaking somebody in his room.
He ran out of quarantine.
You guys need to quarantine him for a few days.
Immediately. At least for the next 4 to 7 days.
Let's be honest, too. And I mean, just as far as, you know, the accommodations and everything else, like what these guys are going to be able to do. I mean, you've been in your house for how many months? So now all of a sudden, I mean, you'll end up in Orlando with this bubble. So I get to play basketball, hang with my buddies, golf, fish, and do whatever else.
Well, you can't hang with your buddies for the first 2 weeks, though.
First two weeks
is just your teammates.
Oh, just 2 weeks?
First 2 weeks is just the teammates in the hotel.
Well, then, I mean, hopefully you like your teammates.
Make sure you don't have a D'Angelo Russell situation.
That doesn't sound bad to me, though, does it?
It's not bad.
No, it's not bad. Rick, stop it. Come on, it's not bad.
You see, they're going to have like a barber shop on campus. They're going to have all sorts of stuff that you can do.
Listen, the golf and the amenities are enough for me.
Yes.
The golf and the amenities, and I get to play a sport that I love in front of a national audience, that's enough for me. From a logistics standpoint, like I don't understand why that's such a hard ask for the NBA toward the players. It's not to me.
And each player gets to bring their own, I mean, if it's a a physical therapist, whatever it is, which is nice. It's a nice little treat, little add-on.
But we haven't had complaints from players, have we, about this?
Hold on, hold on. Each player gets to bring their own physical therapist?
Whatever they decide, yeah.
What kind of therapy are we talking about?
Well, see, that's another point. That's a great point. If I was maybe the owner of a business like a Scores or something, I'm probably on the phone with the NBA.
Does anybody have Robert Kraft's number?
Offering up my services.
Wait, everybody gets to bring their own personal therapist?
It sounds like it, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, but these are the things. I mean, when you look at...
This is not exactly purgatory that they're walking into here.
No, but when you look at how much money professional athletes spend on their bodies...
world problems.
No, but how many people, I remember the story about Russell Wilson. One of the things is he wakes up in the morning, he goes, has a private workout with his, that he travels with, his trainer, mm-hmm. and then he has a nutritionist that he travels with, then he has a masseuse, an ART person.
Yeah, James Harrison, when he was playing, he spent over $500,000 every single year on people to take care of his body.
Wow.
But $12 million a year, doesn't that sound like a good investment?
Absolutely.
It's a great investment.
Yeah. So it's not.
I'm surprised that every single person is going to be bringing their own.
Well, you can
person.
Make a choice to. Not every person has to. You can make the choice to. Like if LeBron wants to bring his masseuse, then you're trying to keep these guys as healthy as possible. And if these guys have a routine,
but couldn't you have like I don't know a certain amount of masseuses or
no?
Whatever
Everyone has their own person.
Everybody
so
has
you
their
can't
person.
Share someone.
Well, yeah. Some players on certain teams do. Like I'm sure that LeBron if he were willing to, there would be guys that would want to use his therapist. Yeah. I remember when I played for the Cowboys, T.O. used to have us come over to his house on Friday afternoons to have his doctors work on us just because we couldn't afford that kind of treatment. You know, when you're a rookie player or a player on your first contract, you can't afford what those doctors cost. But Terrell Owens absolutely could afford it. So mm-hmm. that would be something that we did. I mean, there's plenty of cases that happen like that. I know the Pittsburgh Steelers had a masseuse that worked with a lot of the players on their team. So, I mean, it's just every guy has their person that they go to, but some of the specialists treat multiple guys on the same team.
That's the biggest concern. I mean, outside of COVID-19 is making sure as you ramp this thing up, you keep the players from safe from injury. You don't need anyone pulling groins and hamstrings and everything else.
Could you imagine if LeBron got hurt or Anthony Davis or one of these guys, once he got to the playoff portion of things, be awful.
But you know what, Dave? If an injury happened like that to a key guy, I think it delegitimizes the championship just a little bit. You know what I mean? Because of the circumstances that guys would be going through, if something like that were to happen, people would understand why it happened. But I think that would take away from it a little bit.
So you think if they all go to Orlando and the Lakers beat the Bucks in 7 games and everyone's healthy, legitimate championship. But if they go to Orlando and Giannis, hamstring, can't play, they meet in the finals against the Lakers and Lakers win, delegitimizes the championship.
All I'm saying is, Dave, we recognize that injuries are part of the game, and under normal circumstances in a regular schedule, like people would get it. If a guy got hurt, then that's just the breaks. But if that were to happen now, as we're ramping up to return to play, if a guy got injured and he's going to be out for the entirety of the playoffs, then I think that would affect how people view it. It's not the same. This is not like KD tearing his Achilles. This is not like Klay Thompson tearing his ACL. This is different. Because we're in a pandemic situation and you did have this long pause in the middle of the season. I mean, we're talking about it a couple of days ago, how some people don't feel like this is a resumption of the season in that it's just the beginning of something new. Like, this doesn't feel like the 2019-2020 basketball season.
Not to me at all.
So, I mean, it's just like this is a little bit different. And if you were to have an injury happen to one of those key guys, I think we would look at it a little bit differently than we would under normal circumstances.
I don't think I would. If it's an injury, if it's COVID, I think maybe. But, I mean, as far as injuries are concerned, I mean, that happens.
But that could happen, too.
I think that's a different conversation.
I think if the Lakers win a title because, major players on the Clippers and the Bucks come down with COVID and the Lakers win, I think I'd feel exactly where you do, Chris. But if if Kawhi steps on someone's ankle and sprains it and can't play, and that's why the Lakers get to the NBA Finals, I don't know. I think I'll look at it as a championship probably.
Okay, I mean, I guess we can agree to disagree. Sure. I just feel like if an injury happens under these circumstances, it's more understandable because you're asking guys to do something with their bodies in a time and space that they're not accustomed to doing it. Like if this was in the flow of their normal routine, then I would be more accepting of an injury, you know, potentially dictating who wins a championship. But because we've had, you know, a 3-month pause before we resume the season, to me, a guy going down with an injury, like you would understand how it could happen, but that could pave the way for a team to win a championship that might not otherwise have that opportunity, and something about that bothers me.
Yeah, but that happens all the time. I mean, I understand the time frame and everything else. I would make the argument that it's probably going to be harder to win a championship under these circumstances. You know, being away from your family, being away from your facility and everything else.
Home court facility.
No home court advantage. We've seen it plenty of times, though. I mean, when LeBron's, you know, Cavaliers came back from 3-1, I mean, between Draymond Green getting suspended, and then you had, you know, Bogut goes down with an injury. I mean, that stuff happens.
Yeah, but
man,
that was a normal season. You're not talking about the guys being on this hiatus for 12 weeks, 13 weeks. That's different.
Well, of course, it's different. The entire thing is different.
But the difference is what I'm having a problem getting past. If you're talking about a key guy missing a substantial period of time when they have this return to play because of some type of injury, that's my whole point.
Dave, so here it is. This was Ian Begley who tweeted this.
Okay,
teams can bring up to 36 people. He says up to 17 players. There is an option to include a player's private security trainer or massage therapist, but only one such person is allowed per player, according to the memo.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why if you're locked in a bubble, I imagine they're going to have their own security, right? You need private security?
Oh, maybe it's your buddy. I mean, look at who Jordan hung out with. I mean, those are security guards.
Right. So that would just be, yeah, I guess. Yeah, you're right.
That's to bring who, I mean, you get the opportunity to bring someone that you work with, closely with, I guess. Right.
So everyone can bring one person is really what it is.
Approved person. Yeah. You can't just bring, I mean, you can't say, you know what I mean? Like this can't be, you know, I'm going to have my side piece pretend to be my massage therapist.
You say that.
And then after the first round of the playoffs, I send her home and have my family come in.
You laugh. I mean, you laugh. Stop.
Rick, I'm laughing because I know that guys would go through any lengths.
That is 100%. That will 100%.
To try to keep the side piece around.
You can't get busted. No one else can get in. It's almost foolproof.
They'll find a way, Dave. They'll find a way. You're talking about guys that have a lot of resources. They'll find a way.
No, they'll get caught. They always get caught. They'll get caught.
Yeah, they'll probably get caught under these circumstances just because security is going to be heightened, but it doesn't mean that guys wouldn't try.
They'll definitely try, and you know your wife, Dave. They got special senses. The Spidey senses kick in. They know.
Oh, she knows everything. She says they know everything at times.
When I used to take Ambien, to get to sleep because I was so worked up after a game or before a game.
She knew when you went in the bathroom and took it, you said, right?
I didn't even get a chance to swallow it yet. The second it hit my lips, I could hear it from the bedroom. Are you taking an Ambien? I was like, son of a, can't do anything.
How do they know everything, though?
I have no idea. It says DNA. It's ingrained.
I don't know. I don't know anything going on.
Well, that's because you're just oblivious to everything. You're just happy in your little, speaking of bubbles, in your little Rothenberg bubble.
Yeah, I am.
Rick, now that I'm thinking about this, they better make sure that they have a strict no fraternization policy with the employees that are going to be serving these players while they're in the bubble.
No, that was one of the first things I thought about.
So nothing.
That's
going to
get
man.
Dicey.
That could get dicey.
We're talking 7 weeks. That's going to get dicey.
Yeah. Yeah, a little shallow house syndrome kicks in. I'm just saying, you got to be careful.
I love
that
movie. You
got to be careful.
That's a good movie.
Can you imagine what the Wi-Fi is going to be like? You have all these guys in one spot for 7 weeks by themselves?
No.
What the Wi-Fi situation is going to be?
No.
It won't be lit.
No, well, not. But it's going to be, I mean, that's the definition
like
of bad beats. Be buffering the entire
time. You probably have a better chance with dial-up.
This is why you got to go. See, this is why you guys make fun of me. This is why you got to go to the TV and you get the 24-hour joint. You don't have to worry about that. So you check out and they say, we have one movie for $36. I'm like, oh, no, I think that was a misprint.
I never ordered anything.
I
don't know what you're talking about.
That's the most uncomfortable checkout ever.
You really are a treat. You get the 24 hours?
Of course. It'll be there for a couple days, a day and a half.
$36 movie that you watch 5 minutes.
Total 5 minutes, yeah. Like a couple different sittings, but total maybe 5 minutes. Probably 3.5 minutes.
3 90-second sittings.
Exactly right. First 90, you feel bad about yourself. Shut it right. What am I thinking? Get back to the room. Nah, I'll dabble.
You are too much. All right. You ready, Rick?
I am ready, my friend.
All right. The floor is yours.
All right. Here we go. I was going to go in honor of Chris Chubbs Peterson Canty, who decided to take the L instead of battling a tiny little alligator on the golf course. I was going to go with Adam Sandler movies.
Oh.
I could go with Adam Sandler movies, but
there's
I also have a...
Here. There's a but.
No, but no. I'm going to give you options. I got Adam Sandler all ready to go, but I also, because I had this before the show started, I have, in honor of the NBA, best current NBA duos.
Now, let me go out on a limb and see, can we go a la carte here? Could we get like two NBA duos, two Sandler movies, or is that not on the menu?
No, I like it. We can do that too. I got both.
Chris, how do you feel?
Buffet style?
I like NBA duos.
You just want to go NBA duos?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go NBA duos then. I'll save the, I already have it down, so I'll save the Adam Sandler.
Maybe for How's Friday. That? When it's kind Friday. Of fun CMT Friday.
Okay. I like it. All right, here we go. NBA duos. Cuddle, marry, trash. Santiago, I appreciate the music. You're the best in the business. Let's go with some young duos. Ready for this?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm gonna give you RJ Barrett and Julius Randle.
Stop it.
I'm kidding.
Come on, man.
If you would have gone RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson, I would have taken you seriously, but you include Julius Randle. I know you're messing around here.
Well, yeah, that's the only reason you know I'm messing around, because I mean, you know how much I love Julius Randle.
Well, the RJ Barrett was legitimate.
If you could have, in all honesty, Julius Randle or an Orange Julius, which would you take?
Store? I can own a store?
You can own the store. No, just a drink. Just a drink from Orange Julius. I would take the drink.
One drink?
I would take the drink.
Yeah, I might as well. Can I put it in the blender?
Of course.
Okay.
Spin it. Just like Julius, in honor of Julius Randle, you can
say.
Spin it. There he goes, putting him in the lane, spinning, never winning. All right, here we go. Trae Young and John Collins.
Ooh, Trae Young, John Collins. That's a nice one.
Zion and Lonzo Ball. Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson.
All right, Chris, would you like to receive or defer?
It's up to you, Dave.
I'll start. I'm comfortable starting out here.
Okay.
I think the player with the highest upside and attraction as well for the fans is Zion. I think Lonzo Ball is actually underrated in many ways now. So that duo will be my marry.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
The next one's really difficult. Trae Young has turned himself into a sensational player, but on a lousy team. Ja Morant has played in more important games. Actually, as a rookie, has his team in the postseason, as it would sit now. For that reason, I will cuddle Morant and Jaren
Bombs
Jackson.
And hellacious seeds.
And I will trash Trae Young and John Collins.
Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
Okay, usually this is where I say one man's trash is another man's treasure, but not today. Trash is trash. I would trash Trae Young and John Collins as well. I am actually going to marry Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson. I look at the NBA, it's a point guard driven league, and Ja Morant refers to himself as a point god, and we saw that in his rookie year. I mean, the way the guy controls the pace of the game, it's really impressive. And Jaren Jackson is starting to come into his own in his second year. Like, you can see the development. He's averaging 17 points a game. So I just like that combination. When you got a point guard that can orchestrate the offense and you got a big man that can be an impact player like Jaren Jackson showing in his sophomore campaign, I feel really good about what the Memphis Grizzlies are building towards. So I'm going to marry them, and I'm going to cuddle Zion and Lonzo. You know how much I love Zion as a player. And I think, to your point, Dave, Lonzo is a little bit underrated, especially on the defensive end of the court. So I'll cuddle that group because I think they have the potential to make some noise as well. But I really love what Memphis is doing with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson. So that's why I'm marrying them.
All right. Well done, fellas. Well done. All right. Here I'm going to give you Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I'm going to give you Simmons and Embiid. And I'm going to give you Porzingis and Luka.
Oh, this is easy. I'm going to trash Simmons and Embiid. If it feels like when one of them is off the court, the other one is exponentially better. So they just haven't been able to figure out how to make it work with both of them on the court at the same time. I think a big part of that is because Simmons can't shoot. Or even if he can, he's reluctant to shoot. So either way, it's a problem for their offense, and it's a problem for Joel Embiid having the space that he needs. So I'm trashing them. I'm going to marry Luka and KP.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
And I know a lot of people in New York don't like KP, especially the way that things went when he ended up leaving and being traded to Dallas. But KP is a tremendous talent. And when you got a generational talent in Luka Doncic down there, being able to take a lot of the attention, I think you're going to see the best of Kristaps Porzingis. So, yeah, I'm marrying that. And then I am going to cuddle up to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I told you guys how I feel about Jason Tatum. At some point, he's going to be a top five player in the league. Not yet, but he's moving closer toward that seemingly every season. So sooner rather than later, top five player in the league. That's why I'm cuddling that tandem.
All right, now you almost challenged us earlier to rapidly go through with our selections. I will do that, but I will not do that here because I need some explanation. If I were to draft these guys, my number one pick would probably be Luka Doncic. I probably would go 2-3 Simmons Embiid. So
no,
I'm actually going
no,
to.
No, stop it.
I am going to marry Simmons and Embiid.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I'm telling you. I think
that Jason Tatum's going to be one of the best scorers in the NBA.
I understand. But Jaylen Brown is not anywhere near that. So I'm going to marry Simmons and Embiid. AP and Doncic was a thought. I have health concerns with KP, but I have the same health concerns with Embiid. So I will cuddle Porzingis and Doncic.
Bombs
and I will trash solely because of the Jaylen Brown fact, because Jason Tatum's a sensational player already. I will trash Tatum and Brown.
Look at this garbage!
Aggressive.
Very aggressive.
Not sure
you
I agree,
hate
but
what
aggressive.
I've done. You hate what I've done?
No, I don't hate it. Disrespectful to Jason Tatum. They're very,
very disrespectful.
But
you're talking about he's going
why,
to be.
Why I did that. It wasn't for or meant to be disrespectful towards Tatum. It was more of a Jaylen Brown knock. Anything.
No, I get what you're saying. I mean, Ben Simmons can't shoot. I mean, he's a great defender. He can facilitate
an offense. He's a great player. He's a game player without being able to shoot.
There's no way you would take. There's no way you would take Ben Simmons over Jason Tatum.
Maybe not. Then Simmons and Embiid would both clearly be higher than Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, but you said that you would, if you were
maybe I was wrong.
Him or drafting him. Okay,
so if I'm drafting him, maybe I'd take Doncic 1, Tatum 2, and then those guys 3-4.
I don't think you can go wrong.
I don't know, you can't go wrong,
but I mean, you could
I feel
be
like I'm being attacked.
Right. No, you're not being attacked. You're being criticized constructively.
Yeah. Critique.
You can't be wrong, but you could be more right.
Yes. I would agree with that.
It's an opinion question. I gave my opinion, and now I'm wrong?
No, it's a terrific opinion, and I appreciate it. So let's move on, because we're trying to keep this thing as tight as possible. I'm going to give you Westbrook Harden. I'm going to give you Dame Time and CJ McCollum. Mm. I'm going to give you Stephen Clay.
Oh, this is easy for me.
Okay. All right, this is going to be my. I'm going to run through this. I'm going to marry Stephen Clay. I mean, when healthy, the range for those two guys is unbelievable. So I'm going to marry. I'm going to cuddle Westbrook and Harden.
Bombs and hilarious.
They can combine for 70 points in any given game. And I love Lillard and CJ McCollum, but I don't think they're in the same class as those other two duos. So I will trash that duo.
And when you say Westbrook and Harden can combine for 70 points in any given night, that would be with one of them scoring 60 and the other 110. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Or 35-35. Yes, any combination. You know, yes.
Okay. I'm going to do the same thing. I think this is one of the easier CMTs that Rick has ever given us. So I'm marrying Stephen Clay, two top 15 shooters the game has ever seen, arguably the best shooter the game has ever seen in Steph. Cuddle Harden and Westbrook in trash, Dame and TJ.
Firmly. It's garbage. Look at this garbage.
I wanted to give you an easy one before I gave you one of the tougher ones.
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay. I see what you're doing.
I bet you we got LeBron and Anthony Davis in this one.
Well, that's
you got Kawhi
tough.
And Paul George.
Uh-huh.
LeBron and AD.
Yep.
And Kyrie and Durant.
Again, this is another one that's easy for me. I'm marrying LeBron and AD. I am cuddling Kawhi and PG, them. And I'm trashing Kyrie and KD.
This garbage! Look at this garbage!
And just to show you that I can go very quickly during the segment, as Sam said in Ghost, ditto.
Ditto. Now, what? Let me ask you a question. Let me ask both of you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it injury concerns with Durant? Is it you don't like Kyrie? I mean, you're talking about
all encompassing. All encompassing.
I got a guy coming off an injury, which is hard to return to prior form. And mm-hmm. I got Kyrie Irving, who's terrific. And again, it's a great duo. But of those three, it's clearly the third in my mind.
Okay, that's respectable.
And just all right, last one. Just to show you the lack of talent, not talent, that's not fair, but lack of a second player when it comes to Milwaukee, you can't even put them in this. And they
No, they're gonna be in it. That's what made this difficult.
Can you use Chris Middleton?
I'm going to right now.
Okay.
Giannis and Chris Middleton, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. Slim down Nikola Jokic.
No, oh, what did he lose? 50 pounds?
Half a person.
So what did Murray and Jokic,
Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert.
Well, they wouldn't even want to be.
Yeah, I don't know. They've mended the fences.
All right, Chris. I mean, this to me is not all that difficult either. I mean, Giannis is the guy. I'm going Giannis and Chris Middleton is my marry. Going Giannis.
That was socially acceptable. Yeah. I wouldn't marry them.
Now I run into a little bit of trouble. I will.
No, you don't.
No, it's Jamal Murray and Jokic stuff.
Yeah, it's Jamal Murray and Jokic, and then I will trash Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert.
Whoa, okay, maybe I was a little bit wrong there. I'm not going to do that. I am going to cuddle Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. You're talking about Defensive Player of the Year and a guy that's going to be a perennial All-Star and eventually a consistent All-NBA performer in Donovan Mitchell. I'm going to cuddle those guys and I'm going to trash Jokic and Murray. For as good as they are in the regular season, I just don't see that duo winning anything.
This is the kind of decisiveness I'm talking about. You guys thought about it for a second, and then boom, 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 cuddle,
yeah,
marry,
right.
Trash.
You challenged us. That. You challenged us, and we, I think we rose to the occasion.
No, you guys were great. I mean, that was, I mean, collectively, one of your best efforts. I'm not afraid to say it.
I think you did well as well.
Yeah, not too shabby.
I felt like I was a little slow out of the gates.
No, but those, okay. I mean, listen, you want to put some thought into it. You want to go back and forth. I appreciate that. Give it some thought, okay. But when you say something, you stick by it, which I like. Perfect. Love it.
Beautiful. All right, well done. Tomorrow night, you got to lock into Carlin at 7 o'clock to find out who the winners are.
You should be doing that anyway.
I actually listened to him for quite a bit last night. Very entertaining.
Oh, he's great. He's funny, informative. Love Carlin.
He's got everything. Everything you'd want.
Everything you need. Everything you need.
Funny. Can be serious. Joke around.
Self-deprecating.
Very important in a host. Self-deprecation. Very important.
I'm always locked in.
Yeah, it's good.
I love this station.
And Larry has a new promo, by the way. Have you heard Larry's promo?
I don't care what Larry does. I always usually love it. I used to actually secretly call into Larry's show to ask him questions.
Yeah, but was that because you loved the show, or is that just because you wanted some airtime?
I wouldn't call in as myself. No, I don't want to hear myself on the radio.
Who's your favorite character to to act out when you called into Larry's show?
Buster from Nutley.
That was the guy?
That
was
Buster and Nutley.
I don't understand the call screener. How do they let you on the air?
Well, Nully's a real place.
I know it is, Buster. But didn't they know it was you?
No, they had no idea. I changed my voice up a little bit. They had no idea.
Let me hear the change voice.
Well, just listen. We don't have the clip.
Buster Nutley, you're next on 98.7 ESPN.
Larry, dollar, dollar brills. This is a Jets fan calling in. I'm sick of the New England Patriots. I'm sick of Tom Brady and his cleft chin and his stupid Ugg boots. I'm done with it.
Oh, man.
Now, here's my question.
I also like Happy, the character Happy that you do, Rick. That's a good one.
Happy and Metuchen?
Mm-hmm.
Here's quite the conundrum now. What time do you go to bed?
Well, now, I'm taking advantage of no sports on TV, so we need seven-ish.
So their show was 10 to midnight.
I was a night owl. There was a lot going on.
All right.
That might have been after one of my men's hockey league games, actually. So I was up late. But I have nothing going on. Why wouldn't I go to sleep?
You are too much. You really are.
Do you like that, though? Dollar, dollar, brill. That was a good nickname.
Dollar, dollar, brill. That's a good one.
Well, I love the accent.
You couldn't tell that was me if I called in Stump. If I called in to do Stump Rothenberg, you wouldn't know that was me.
You could do Stump anywhere now.
I may call into your show on Saturdays from now on.
I hope you do.
You'll never even know it.
Oh, I would know.
10:30 on Saturday morning is appointment radio for me.
Thank you.
I don't miss it.
Very kind of you. All right, let's get into what's going on with the Giants. Guys, this is the second now. You got DeAndre Baker. Now you got Aldrick Rosas. And this is, he's driving 100 miles an hour. He hits another car. He gets out of his car. He's allegedly drunk. All across the board. This is a guy who's supposed to make $3+ million this year, Chris. I can't see him kicking for the Giants anymore.
No, I can't see him kicking for the Giants anymore, Dave. It's absolutely ridiculous. And to think that he had a prior DUI a couple of years ago, it's not as if this guy didn't realize how serious the implications could be if you were intoxicated and you get behind the wheel. God, no, I'm thank God that nothing happened to anybody.
100 miles an hour.
But that's what I'm saying. Thank God nothing happened to anybody in that accident, because this could have been a completely different headline. Let's not forget about what happened with Leonard Little way back in the day. He actually killed somebody. And I think Dante Stallworth as well. So, it's dangerous when you talk about being intoxicated and getting behind the wheel of a car. But, Aldrick Rosas, he's putting himself in a tough position, but he's also putting Joe Judge in a tough position, too. And there's an article in the New York Post today talking about it. But in an offseason where you really haven't had much interaction with the players face-to-face other than Zoom calls and meetings like that, it's tough to be able to establish institutional control if you're a head coach. And now everybody's looking at you and looking at your response to this incident as the gauge of where you're going to come down in terms of overall discipline in your program. And I don't see any way that it's possible for Joe Judge to instill the level of discipline that's going to be required to get the culture turned around for the New York Giants with keeping Aldrick Rosas on this roster after this incident.
Especially because there's no salary cap ramifications. I just think this, situations like this are just going to highlight how hard it's going to be for rookie head coaches under these circumstances to have, the kind of success that you're hoping. This is difficult, man. Joe Judge, between these two incidents, and when you get in front of a microphone and you hear, it's all about, culture inside the building and everything else, and you have stuff like this happen. This is not something that Joe Judge wants to be dealing with in the moment.
Of course not. And it's amazing that this guy would risk everything. He probably doesn't think about it. He probably doesn't care. But to risk everything, your entire career. Think about what he did. He's driving 100 miles an hour. He hits a car. He flees the scene of the accident. Allegedly, he's inebriated.
Car breaks down.
He's bleeding all over the place.
No shoes. Car breaks down. This is 8:25 in the morning. T-bone. Tries to drive his car away, but it breaks down, so then he gets out and runs on foot.
I don't think we have to say allegedly when it comes to being inebriated.
Well, I want to, cover our bases here.
Who runs away from an accident barefoot, hands, legs, and feet covered in blood?
It's unbelievable.
Who does that?
Honestly,
nobody of sound mind does something like that.
This would be in observations if it wasn't a professional athlete, is how ridiculous the story is.
Yes.
But it's terrifying to think of what he was willing to do.
Yeah, this is one of those ones, especially, it's never okay to get behind the wheel when you've been drinking or you're intoxicated or anything else. That goes without saying. But, especially now, with Uber and everything else. I mean, there's no reason. There's no reason to get. There's no reason to get behind the wheel.
No,
I mean, they have services that will come. They have services that come pick up your car and drive you home with your car.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they actually
show you don't have to pay, and you don't have to pay for it if you're an NFL player. You can use that service. Now, I know a lot of guys don't want to use it because they believe that it'll get back to the team that you used it. But I would rather it get back to the team that I needed to use that service than back to the team under this type of headline.
So if Joe Judge learns that Aldrick Rosas was inebriated and did the right thing and took the proper precautions, is that, and maybe I'm missing something, is that a bad thing?
Dave, I think guys look at it as something that a team can use against them. Guy out partying, not being responsible, having too much alcohol. They don't want to create the perception that they're going to potentially be a problem. That's the psyche, yeah, the mindset of a player. I'm just telling you what guys have told me in the locker room. So whether it's right or wrong, that's how guys feel. But I mean, you would rather that happen than what happened to Aldrick Rosas the other day.
Every day of the week.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.